Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the session hosted by Together TV, featuring senior marketers from BBC, ITV, and Channel 4 to discuss the exciting evolution, opportunities, and future of television. So with me today are Jane Stiller, CMO at ITV, Katie Jackson, interim CMO at Channel 4, and Paul Davies, Director of Marketing and Audiences at BBC. Thank you so much for being with me today on stage. My name is Francesca Aida. I'm Head of Marketing at Together TV, the TV broadcaster inspiring positive change. You already see the captions for accessibility and visual description here as well very quickly. I'm a woman wearing long hair, with long hair. These are mine. With long hair, dark eyes, long dress, and white sneakers. Now, before we get started, I just want to mention there are possibility to send us questions. So please do send us questions through Slido. Probably you have the information on your screens, but we have so much to discuss, very little time. So I'd like to start straight away with Jane. Now, Jane, so as we said, you are leading marketing at ITV, from strategy to publicity, creativity, media. I'd like to start from one of the recent successes that probably everyone has heard about, which is Mr. Bates versus the post office, of course, from your perspective, perhaps. So, of course, this show created a national conversation, both in terms of viewership and also spurring government action for this, you know, long-standing injustice. So with 15 million viewers, last time I checked, you probably have better and more accurate data for this across the platforms. So what's your approach to balancing digital-first ambitions with linear-first flagship events?
Thank you, and thanks for having me. I think it's probably fair to say, I think these guys would agree, a show like Mr. Bates versus the Post Office doesn't come along that often. and we're super proud of it. It's the most amazing show. We had no idea it was going to be as big as it was, both in terms of viewership, but also obviously in terms of the action that it's driven. So we are super, super proud of it. I think what's really interesting about the show as well is obviously it had a big live audience. So it launched on New Year's Day, if we can remember back to those very, you know, darker days. It launched on New Year's Day. And about 3 million people watched it kind of on as live. But I think what was really interesting is over the course of the next 7 days, obviously, as the press picked up, as it became even more buzzy and lots of people knew about it, that audience tripled just in that first week alone. And obviously, as you said, it's now gone on to be, you know, a multi-million numbers in terms of the, you know, the people that have watched it. So I think for us, you know, the world of live TV and streaming is now just one big world of trying to get the biggest audience possible. You know, viewers watch in completely different ways. Some of them are watching on their phones on the way to work. Some of them are watching on a massive cinema screen in their home. And as broadcasters who want to be able to reach the highest number of people possible, for us, it's about picking the right content, you know, and delivering it to people in the right place in the way that they want to watch it, which is why for us, streaming and broadcast doesn't feel like a big distinction. It's just about how do you deliver a really big audience in a way that is useful for in our business for advertisers. And that might be through mass simultaneous reach, or it might be through delivering targeted video on demand advertising through our ITVX streaming platform. So for us, it's just how do you get the biggest audience possible?
Absolutely. It's all about content, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's all down to that. Absolutely. So I'm sure we get into that a little bit more in a moment. But let me go to Paul straight away. Because Paul, as we said, you're Director of Marketing and Audiences at BBC. So my first question would be regarding audiences. We've seen the recent successes of The Traitors and The Gladiators, very different TV shows, mm-hmm. right? Even raced across the world very recently. So they really have demonstrated that in entertainment shows can still attract huge audiences to TV. So how do you make this series relevant to audiences of all ages? And sorry, I forgot the visual description, if you would like to start with that as well.
A visual description. Well, I feel under pressure. So I'm probably a middle-aged man. I don't have as good a hair as the rest of the panel. And I'm in a blue jacket. So there we go. Thank you for having me. And thank you for talking about Gladiators. We're really proud of that show as well. And I think it's a rare show because it's a show that reaches a family audience, and family audiences come together because parents who saw it the first time round, they're on the nostalgia trip. And then with their kids, they're able to show them and then they can get into the brand for the first time. So we're really proud of Gladiators. And I will talk about it a little bit more. But to answer your question, it all comes down to marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. So for us, we recognize that there's a huge amount of choice now for audiences to go and watch, more choice than they've ever had before. So our job changes with that. And advertising is great at driving awareness of our shows. But actually, what we really want to do is drive talkability as well, because that pushes audiences into the consideration set and ultimately into choosing what to watch. So that's our strategy. It's how do we drive talkability of our shows? And to bring it to life, you talked about Traitors. Actually, Traitors is a great example. So after season one, we had a fan base that absolutely loved the show. People who watch it love Traitors. And so we recognized that we had a fan base. So we wanted to, set them on fire. And so a good example of just a small tactic we did before we announced when Traitors 2 was coming back, the second season, we dropped a hooded traitor behind Claudia in Strictly on a Saturday night. And we knew that not many people would spot it, but we knew that fans would. And of course, yeah, the fans spotted it, the media picked it up. Just little things like that we're starting to play with to kind of generate buzz and interest around shows. So that's one small example. I'll give you a bigger example. So Doctor Who, which we rebooted for last weekend. Again, we had a really carefully constructed plan about what we release when. So a countdown to a trailer. So before the trailer, we do the countdown to the trailer, then the trailer. Then we release episode titles. Believe it or not, fans love the release of episode titles. There are Whovians, by the way. We love our Whovians. They're a very unique bunch, shall I say. But we're really careful about how we manage our fan bases and what information we seed out. It's very well thought through. And then through to Gladiators, that was an example where we didn't invest in marketing until we knew how the show was performing. Because it's quite a gamble. You never really know how an audience is going to react. But it was very, very quick from week one that the audience loved it and they loved the show and we had a hit on our hands. And so we did a shopping center tour. We toured the Trafford Shopping Center in Manchester. If anyone knows, it's huge, it's enormous. And we took six Gladiators there. In fact, some of the team are here who did the activation with me. So it's their work that I'm celebrating. So thank you, team. And we took six Gladiators and the reaction was incredible. I mean, it blew our minds, but we had queues snaking around the Trafford Centre. We had to stop the queue four times because we were mobbed. We ran out of foam fingers that we produced. So all these sorts of things are designed, you know, it's how we think about it. How do we drive talkability?
And I'm sure that we will talk about this in a little while as well, because it's super interesting how, you know, the different ways that you can approach these titles and how to promote them. Let me go to Katie, though, because Katie, you are interim CMO at Channel 4, having previously led 4 Creative as well. Now, there are some super cool stats that I want to share, like Channel 4 delivered its biggest ever month of streaming in March, right? So this March.
And then again in April.
Oh, goodness me. That's great. So with the data I got, and then you'll tell me differently if that's the case, with up 40% year on year, with 6.9 billion minutes boosted by young audiences, like and some hits like The Jury, Murder Trial, that got the nation talking. Yeah. Now, this in itself is impressive, and I would ask so many questions about that, but really there is something that probably is very relevant for the audience now and today, which is something that's coming up, which is Paralympics this summer. And so my question is more about the Channel 4 Superhuman campaign. Now, you know, this campaign fundamentally shifted the public perception about the Paralympics in the first place, and also the elite, disabled athletes at the same time. Now, how is the positioning of the Paralympics changing, evolving this summer? And what do you think that big events like this one can do for Channel 4 brand?
I'm afraid, not to disappoint the audience, despite the hashtag spilling the tea, I cannot disclose what the Paralympics campaign is going to be this year. So apologies for those of you who've queued up to get some insight into that. I think we, you know, firstly, the Paralympics legacy that Channel 4 has created is extraordinary. So back in 2012, when we first launched Superhumans, and obviously the Paralympics was in London, I think we managed to deliver about 12 million viewers to the coverage. In Tokyo, fast forward to what was 2021, ultimately, that number increased to 20 million. And that increase alone just shows the impact that both the coverage and the campaigns that we've delivered over the years have had on the public perception around disability. So really, really impressive and no small feat to try and target this time round. I think the question around brand positioning never changes really for us, which is we know creativity is the number one profitability driver after brand scale. So it is our moment, it is our opportunity to be the most creative that we can possibly be. There's no small coincidence that some of the advertising campaigns we've created for the Paralympics over the last three moments in time have all been incredibly highly awarded and incredibly well-crafted pieces of work. We hope, we talk about a difficult second album famously, but a difficult fourth album is an entirely different thing. We hope we are able to repeat that this year. I can see some of the team in the audience. We're going to repeat that, aren't we, gang? And I think audiences respond to that. You know, the bravery and the boldness and the risk that it takes to really cut through creatively with a message to audiences around why it's important to support disabled sport is what we're all about. Yeah. So we feel really excited about that this year.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And right, so I think now we touched on that, but I think I would like to go a little bit deeper. And this is a question for all of you, really. So lockdown has demonstrated that really TV can still bring the nation together like nothing else. So since viewing is progressively spreading across different, you know, platforms from streaming to social media, gaming. So what can we do as marketers to bring audiences together for major events and also demonstrating our public service broadcasting value somehow? Who wants to get started? And feel free to jump in because this is really a conversation. Please, Paul.
I'll start. I mean, if I look ahead to the summer, I mean, there's a lot of events coming this summer. So we've got, and just speaking on behalf of the BBC, we've got Radio 1 Big Weekend this weekend in Luton with Coldplay. We've got Glastonbury, the Euros, the Olympics, Wimbledon. There are a lot of live moments where our audiences do come together. And we think of them in a couple of ways. I think the first way is we think of it as it's an opportunity to take a live audience and to give them a proposition around iPlayer and around watching through a digital on-demand service. So we think, What have we got in our product? What have we got in our arsenal that gives them a reason to watch on iPlayer rather than through the signal? And there are some really good reasons. So things like Glastonbury, you can watch, I think, pretty much any stage of Glastonbury. I don't know if anyone's seen the iPlayer experience. It's brilliant. It's almost better than going to Glastonbury itself. Almost, not quite. You don't get the mud. But it's really good. Or something like Wimbledon, where if you're really into the tennis, you can watch every court, so action of every court, and you can flick between them. So those sorts of propositions around live are really interesting to us and about how we use our digital platforms to present it to audiences and package it up in a different way. So that's one of the ways that we think about it.
Absolutely. And it's how technology can enhance the experience, isn't it? Yeah. So any other thoughts?
I think actually what Paul talked about earlier around talkability is so important. Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, we all know, don't we, when you watch a piece of content and you love it, you want to share it with other people. And, you know, we've seen that across the board, not just from broadcasters, but from streamers as well. You know, Baby Reindeer at the moment is huge. Everyone's talking about it. You know, we're going to have loads of shows like that. You know, Mr. Bates kicked off the year as a big one. We've talked about Gladiators, Traitors. It's inherent when you have an amazing piece of content, you want to talk to other people about it. And so I think our job as people who distribute content to hundreds of millions of people is to find ways, exactly like Paul talked about, to make it easy for people to talk about it, to spark conversations. You know, if you think about Love Island, big show, lots of people talk about it. You know, we spend a lot of time, you know, similar to as Paul said, thinking about what are we providing for our super fans. You know, we do first look every single day. We make sure that we, you know, distribute loads of stuff through social platforms. We invite content creators to the villa so that they can experience Love Island themselves, you know, and have that experience so that they know when they're then posting content about it once the series is live, you know, that they've actually felt it and they've experienced it. So I think it's finding those moments when you know you've got a big show that loads of people want to talk about. It's finding the way for fans to talk about it and
to live it,
to live it, and give them that experience. Be that, you know, through the iPlayer, be through ITVX experience, or, you know, the four streaming platform. There's loads of different ways of doing it, but I do think it's important that we provide the opportunity for people to talk about content in the ways that they want to, because people love great shows. You know, that's, you know, people do that. You know, and you know, it's a privilege to work on those shows. It really is.
Very true.
I think that's true. I think there's probably I might go one step further and say it's about creating the moment of conversation rather than just necessarily facilitating it, right? And I think talent plays a really key role when we think about live TV, both in terms of presenter lineup, but also key celebrity talent and influencer talent. You know, we talk about at the moment Lycett Live, which is on Channel 4 at 10 p.m. on Fridays. Joe Lycett just picked up a BAFTA on Sunday. He creates huge talkability just by virtue of the fact he has a big audience. You know, we've just announced the election coverage lineup. We're going to bring in Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart from The Rest Is Politics. We are cross-pollinating audiences who already create conversation between themselves to try and leverage what we can do to build audience moments around live events. And I think talent is really, really important for us to consider moving forward. I think what Jane's doing and ITV are doing with ITV Insiders is brilliant. So I think talent is a real untapped opportunity and something we need to continue to focus on.
Very good point. Cool. Right. So another question I wanted to ask to all of you, and I'm really passionate about this one, really. You know that Together TV exists to inspire positive change. Now, our viewers specifically are semi-retired or retired, coming from lower income households and from rural settings. So we know we are very close to our audience. So that's why I know that this is something that they feel quite, you know, a lot. So they love normal telly, you know, like the traditional telly, and they are kind of years away from being digital only or digital first. So my question to you all would be, how can we as marketers really can help, you know, these audiences and bring them along on this digital journey, let's say in the next decade? Of course, we're talking long term here. Any thoughts on that? Because obviously, you know, different audiences have different experience with digital and different platforms. So
well, one bit I would say on that is I think it's dangerous in any marketing context to think of something as traditional and something as new. Yeah. And I also think it's dangerous to think of digital as new and traditional as kind of old. So, you know, I think we talked a lot about if we're trying to create big moments, big shows that everyone enjoys, all demographics should be included in that. And if you think about us as an advertising platform, it's our, you know, it's our duty to provide advertisers with every single audience, because, you know, we brands want to target all sorts of different demographics, and that's our job. So I think, you know, you've got to put your best foot forward in terms of commissioning, creating shows that we said that everyone wants. I think then from a marketing point of view, we've got a responsibility to not always be focused on, you know, 16 to 34s and, you know, try and build big moments that everyone comes in for, so that, you know, speaking for ITV, we can provide that platform for advertisers. So I think I think the word traditional can have the wrong connotations, I think, personally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think building on that, we use the phrase clutch control a lot internally, where we think about a live audience and an on-demand audience. It's interesting listening to Jane. So we think about the younger audiences, of which clearly this is our group, this is a very young audience, will watch more streaming than they do watch on demand. I suspect that is probably typical for a media audience in London. An older audience watches more live than they do on demand. So there's a dichotomy, there's a tipping point between the two. And so we call it a clutch control about how we manage it. And what always interests me is, be interested if anyone knows what the most watched live show on television is every day. Does anyone know? Does anyone want to guess?
Any guesses?
It's the 6:30 p.m. regional news and weather. That draws the biggest audience. It always surprises people. But if we think about our demographic, yeah. Older people watch more telly than younger people. You know, it's quite, you know, quite significantly so. So if you take the total universe of viewing, it still is mostly live than it is on demand.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true.
I mean, Freely is a good example of what we're doing to try as broadcasters to come together and think about how we can provide all audiences, regardless of their age, with a live and also an on-demand proposition. Freely, for those of you that don't know, is a new service that's come to market just recently. The campaign will be launching next Monday. And it's BBC, Channel 4, ITV and Channel 5 all coming together to provide the experience that I just talked through the internet. You know, because realistically, penetration of smart TV is continuing to grow. And I think, again, you know, I like the word that Jane chose. I think it is dangerous to start to view these audiences in a binary way. Co-viewing is a reality, but also the way the market is moving at the moment means older audiences are starting to move into smart TV world. And if we're able to provide them with our own content, then that's brilliant. So I think we're doing a good job with that.
Very good point. Right. I think we have some time for questions. And I can see some coming up right now. I would like to start perhaps with the latest one that I have here. So I'm going to read it for you. Oh, no. It has disappeared now. I don't know what happened. It was from Parisa, I guess. But I can't see it. But shall I go for the one? Anyway. Well, you know... is there a way to scroll, perhaps, so I can get to the point? Sorry, just to try to get to the tech. Agree. Here we go.
Oh, whilst you're doing...
Here we go. Thank you very much.
Oh, whilst sorry. You're doing that, can I just point out to whoever in the audience has called Channel 4 Streaming All 4, we are not called All 4 or 4OD. It's Channel 4 Streaming. I just needed to point that out.
It just shows how long it takes to make a brand, doesn't it?
Very good point. Thank you for pointing that out. Right. So we have this question just for everyone to answer. With iPlayer, All 4 and ITVX now established, what insights can the panel share about how brands can now get more insight into show format performance? Any thoughts?
I'm happy to take that one. So I think, you know, we have a ITV commercial team who provide a lot of that insight out into the market through agencies. I also think there is a huge value in having direct relationships with us at ITV. You know, we know the hot shows, we know, you know, the type of things that are coming up. And, you know, we also know the demographics of each show to be able to say when you are a brand and you're looking for a certain partner, you want a certain thing. You know, we're able to provide a lot of that by having a direct relationship. I think there's some really lovely examples of where also we've done ad-funded content that's performed really well. So Cooking with the Stars, big M&S show that we've been doing for a number of years now. It really performs brilliantly. Again, great example of like really close collaboration. But no, in terms of getting the performance stats, we provide a lot of that. But I think, again, it's those close relationships and knowing what's on the slate coming up. Really, if you want to be, you know, closely partnered with the show and deeply integrated into it. You know, if you look at Love Island, we have, you know, numerous different commercial partners with Love Island, but they are really deeply embedded, you know, within that show. You know, they go to the villa, they really genuinely understand the DNA of the show, and we are able to create unique sponsorship opportunities through all different facets of the show. But that comes from, you know, really close collaboration and knowing what's coming up. You know, we've got great shows, great formats coming up that there is that opportunity on. And so it's just making sure that I think you're close to us to be able to get involved, you know, at the right stages.
Oh, thank you. Would you like to integrate that? No, you're happy with that. Cool. There is another question here that we can pick up. How do you manage to balance the over-personalization of different demographics and at the same time creating bigger, massive cultural moments?
With difficulty.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Challenge.
How do you balance over-personalization? I mean, personalization always plays its part, right? So when, for instance, we look at running tests on how we personalize your Watch Next experience when you're on product, and we see huge conversion increases when we are starting to run tests on types of shows, types of content families, types of genres that we know viewers are going to move through. However, back to the Paralympics point, nothing beats the cut through of a big, famous creative campaign that is holding a microphone up to a big, famous piece of content. So I think they are always a balance, but you can't ever compromise on creating that conversation and driving fame for the brand and for the show at the expense of delivering optimization at the bottom of the funnel. So it's with difficulty, but I do think both are equally as important.
I also think on that, the ability to personalize once someone's come in. So like we talked about Mr. Bates earlier,
yep.
We know that when people come in for original content, 90% of them go on to watch something else on ITVX. And so actually, but that's because we've invested a lot in our metadata to be able to, you know, position the right show to the right person at the right time. So I think there's a lot in the behind the scenes around personalization that the viewer shouldn't see, you know, and shouldn't know about, and it shouldn't look creepy. But behind the scenes, I think that is really important, so that then the personalization feels natural, so that when you come in to watch a big show, you are then given something else that you might be interested. I'm sure you do a lot of that on iPhone as well.
There's a real tension actually in this question, which is really, really interesting. So we look at really big live moments. You were asking about live earlier.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for us, because that's a mass audience who are coming in that might not traditionally come in to the BBC or whoever it might be. So we see that as an opportunity to retain that audience. So we have choices. Do we promote our biggest, most universal title to that audience? Or do you get more specific and more targeted and present something much more personalized to the audiences that you know don't come very often, but they're a smaller slice of that whole? It's quite a challenge. We've tested both. I have a view on it. I'm perhaps not going to share it amongst these guys, but we have a view on it and we're testing it out.
Awesome, thank you. I think we have time for one more question because we have 3 minutes left. So maybe we can go for shorter answers so that all of us can say something. What tips can you offer brand marketers around how to optimize their shoulder content around brand funded shows? Any thoughts on that?
Should we do another one?
Yeah.
I can answer that just, but if you want to, do you know what, the reason we're all saying that is there's a question on here which we all want to answer,
yeah,
which is what are we currently watching and what we're looking forward to watching this.
Right.
We can answer about shoulder content if you want.
Oh, well, no, I mean, if you're happy to give like a very quick...
I think it's actually the stuff that I said before. I think if you want to do great creative work, in any form, it's about getting close to the content creators. And so I would say, come and speak to our commercial team, come and work with us on creating something special together.
Exactly. Thank you. Last one before we need to wrap up. What are you watching currently and what are you looking forward to watching? This is a nice one.
I can go. I'm currently watching Fortune Hotel on ITVX. It's fantastic. A bit of a Traitors ripoff, I will give you that. But it's like Traitors cross with deal or no deal.
That's not what we said at all at the office. Well,
it's like Traitors cross with deal or no deal, crossed with White Lotus. It's fantastic. And I'm very much looking forward to the Olympics and the Paralympics with our partners here.
Very good. Paul, what are you watching?
That's a great answer. I'm watching Race Across the World. That's a particular favourite of mine. A bit of armchair travel I particularly love. And then I'm also going to pass it this way. From Channel 4, I'm a bit embarrassed to say this publicly, but I'm going to go there.
Go on.
Maths.
Yeah.
Maths is amazing. It's so good. Yeah, I'll take my hat off.
We love it.
It's so good. Thank you for saying that.
Very kind.
Maths Australia just finished. For those like you who may now be in mourning, move on to Love Triangle. It's equally as toxic and fantastic. And then we've got some great dramas coming up. So The Gathering just started this week, which is a youth drama based in Liverpool, all about toxic parents rather than toxic teenagers. So I recommend that. And Queenie, adaptation of the book that Candice Carty-Williams wrote, coming up very, very soon. Saw a preview of the first two eps. It's going to be a good one. So big drama.
Very good.
Yeah.
So with these recommendations, I'd say we need to wrap up. But before we do that, so if you like what you heard today, just wanted to mention our monthly interview series, which is Spilling the Tea, and probably it might come up on screen in a second with the opportunity for you to subscribe. It's free. I recommend it. And my personal thanks to Advertising with Europe for the space, to the Together TV team today, and most importantly, please put your hands together to thank Katie, Paul and Jane for being with us and sharing their experiences today. Thank you so much to all of you.
Thank you, fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.